This is a Chuckabee production. Yo,
what's poppin'?
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the In General Podcast with your hosts, Ty and Demi.
What it do, baby? How y'all living? I hope y'all good out there. Hope y'all staying blessed, man. Hope y'all loving the summertime, loving the summer heat. What is it? It's the end of June. It's the last week of June.
End of June. I don't even know where June went.
This is wild. 6 months in, baby.
Crazy.
Does not feel like it, but you know what I mean? We 6 months in, we halfway there. You got through half the year. You get through the second half. If you're struggling, make this second half better than the first half. You know what I mean? Hope y'all plan. It's a little early, but hope y'all planning 4th of July stuff, trying to stay with y'all family. Dimitri, how's your week been?
My week's been pretty good, man. You know, things have been pretty good, I must say.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going very hard right now. Nova, you're going, duty, ma'am.
Nova.
Just say, just moo.
Yeah. Moo. So, Nova has this thing to where she literally...
Ingrained fear.
Has true fear when you say moo. Like a long moo.
Like real fear, too.
Like a Curs a Cowley dog moo. Like, I don't know where she picked up this fear from, but I've never seen fear in her eyes like this. Like, this is like some real, like, I'm putting a gun to your head type of fear.
Yeah, she sees something else, bro. Why would that sound? It must be like a traumatic.
Cows attacked her in her
dream. Yeah, they must have killed her in her sleep or something. Like, all jokes aside.
How you get attacked by a cow?
How do you not?
Can a cow attack you?
If they catch you lacking, probably.
Well, what would a cow do to me?
Run you over?
It has no.
I mean, it could, like.
It don't have horns or nothing.
If it puts all its weight on your body, it could, like.
Or it's not going to catch me.
You ever That's seen what I said, if it catch you lacking. I don't know what situation a cow could catch you lacking in, but
I mean,
you never know where you might be in a situation where there might be a cow by
where I'm next to a cow and it's going,
yeah.
I've never seen a cow run, ever.
Bro, this is not how we're starting the podcast off of talking about cows. But anyways, my week's been good, you know, new things on the way, new jobs, you know. Just feeling good, man, you know.
What was the best part of your week?
You know, for sure, for those who've already seen already, but, you know, your boy got a new job, you know what I'm saying? So round of applause for myself. Oh, thank you so much for taking the time, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yo, Swiss. But, yeah, man, this has been... some good news that I've been waiting to hear for a while, man. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, something new, something allow me to take care of my family better. And I think just...
That's powerful, dog.
It is, man. I think the reason why it was so monumental to me just because, you know, like I talked about, just taking that leap of faith, because this was something I was really... sitting on my soul, man. It was just like, you know, I think that Monday of that week, like, I woke up 5 a.m. in the morning just stressing about my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when I kind of knew, like, all right, man, something's got to change. Like, I can't keep doing this every day feeling like this. Like, just not even feeling good going to my job and whatnot. Like, it's just... it was the worst because it's very mentally draining. Because by the time you just get off work, you're just don't even want to do anything else.
Yeah, it's almost like a cycle. Like a
it really is. It's a scary cycle because you're just like, yo, am I gonna get out of this? Like, because you know a lot of people know the struggle of it's a job hunt.
Like, oh, for sure,
it's not one job. You know, all right, we out of here. Like, you trying. You putting some applications in. you know, hearing some things every now and then, but nothing guaranteed for sure. Might get an interview, but it's not anything that's just gonna be like that.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like this is something that I've been like thinking about for a while, but it was just like, all right, bro. It's 2 years on the job. Like, what's up? Like, is this really where we want to be at? So, you know, I did it. And, you know, I talked to Jasmine about it. And I've been talking to her about it for a while, but just, you know, like, you know, if I do this, like, here's a plan. Like, here's what I'm going to do. Like, you know, I'm about to be on the job hunt every day possible, 24/7, like, nonstop, you know.
It paid off.
Because I don't want to put us in a situation to where now it's just even in a bad situation. So, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure we don't get there.
Yeah.
But like you said, it paid off, you know, believing in myself, knowing what I can do, knowing my worth. I got it done. And, you know, other people were able to see that. And I really just want to spread the word. Just know your worth, dog. Like, it's something for real. Like, because it's very quick for, you know, for you to think or to lose sight of that because of what somebody else thinks about you or something like that. Like,
yeah, we all let those things get into our head.
It happens. There has to be some level of validation that people are trying to obtain. You know, your percentage might be different than others, even though we shouldn't try to seek it. I think it's just human nature. But yeah, man, that's just, I knew, like, it just was not, I wasn't feeling good going to work. And that's just, I just know that's a sign. Because there was a post that I never got to read, but it was about somebody who was just like, their job, like, I think killed them. Just like mentally, something along the lines of that, or like immensely, like affected them.
Yeah.
I didn't read into it, but it's just like, dude, if I was to die right like today, bro, like, this is not how I want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not what I want to remember going out like. So, you know, I did it, and you know, here we are now.
Yeah,
a new opportunity later. And, you know, I can really tell this new company, they care about their people from mm-hmm. what it seems like.
So, yeah, regardless of everything, that's important. I mean, people underestimate sometimes, like, quality, like, parts of jobs that are non-monetary, so things that don't have to do with money or benefits or things like that. But there's a big part of what you should be looking for in a job or just in anything is kind of what it does for you and how it affects your life. And can you see it? Do you feel respected there? Do you feel like the culture kind of fits you as a person? Cause you know, no matter if you're making $300,000 a year, if you depressed every day, it's not going to be worth it.
Exactly. Like, what are you doing just to get that? And, I think too, just like, seeing similar faces in this new opportunity, just like two of the people who interviewed me were Black, that just kind of gave me that kind of reassurance. Like, okay. Because I just think that all Black people in a white space, we kind of know game. Like, we all have shared like similar stories.
For sure.
That we can all tell each other. So it's just kind of like, you know, you've seen the shenanigans that they can pull.
And I mean, even if you, like, my last job before I went to grad school and I was working in a clinic, I mean, I loved everybody there. Like, you know, I still text everybody there and I loved everybody. Nobody that worked there was racist or anything like that. Nobody was, like, prejudiced or anything. But it's not even about them doing anything. It's just about not having your people around you.
Mm-hmm.
So, it kind of sometimes you get like sad before going to work, or at least I did sometimes, because it's usually like I'm gonna be here for 8 to 10 hours, whatever, and I'm not going to see any black people.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a few that come in and out, but I'm not, like, I don't work with any black people. I don't get to talk to many black people. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, I don't know, it makes, not in like a racist way or anything like that, not trying to be, say like white people are bad or white people, it's bad to be around white people. It's just sometimes you want people that look like you, yes, you know, like you around you.
They don't have that cultural understanding to make you at ease at work.
Yeah, and it's always some, like, if there's another black guy or woman that works with you, there's, you get that, it's like the instant connection. It's, yeah. You know, it's always like that. Yeah, we got these unspoken language almost.
Yeah, honestly, it really is an unspoken language, because it's just like, you ain't even got to say anything, but you just look at him.
It could just be a look,
like,
yeah, it could just be a look.
Like, nigga, like, did he really just say that? Like,
that's real. And that's 100%.
So,
and you miss that when you don't. You realize you miss that when you don't work with any black
people. Yeah, but you know, I did take some reflection, and you know, a lot of things did happen there that I didn't like, and you know, my job, my goal here is not to bash anybody or whatnot. But I did reflect, and I do, in a sense, take some responsibility. I don't think anything could ever be 100% somebody's fault. Like, there has to be some type, or other person's fault. Like, mm-hmm. There has to be some level of accountability.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, I definitely think there could have been areas I could work on. I know one thing for sure that I want to work on, especially just in my personal life, too, is just trying to... How do I properly phrase this? But like, calm my thoughts down, because I feel like I think about so many things that I don't take everything in fully, and might miss a couple of things.
Okay.
And especially when I feel like I'm bogged down. When I'm really bogged down, that's when I really feel like I'm not taking in the whole situation. Like, I'll get the big picture, but like, I won't get minor details.
You feel like, and you don't pay attention as much or as well?
I don't know if it's necessarily, and it might be the right thing, but in terms of, I'm constantly thinking of so many things. I'll think about one thing, and then I'll just think about something else that I need to do.
Right.
Or think about something else I need to do, or think about an idea or something, or just like random things. Like, I'll literally just start working, and then while I work, I'll just think about something else. Like, not even meaning to, but just like random stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, today she texted me to pack some stuff, because Nova's daycare was doing like a water park day or whatever.
Right.
So she texted me to pack a couple of things, but she told me to put it in Nova's small little pink backpack that she has. So this morning, you know, I'm getting ready and whatnot. Then I remember, oh, I need to pack the bag.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So I'm just like, all right, got the bag, got the sunscreen, the swimmers and whatnot. But I packed it in the wrong bag. I packed in a bigger bag, which it didn't even need to be in the bigger bag. But when it comes to like, so my way of thinking is like, when I do something so constantly, like do it the same thing, like, you know, your brain mentally just keeps doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I pack Nova, I always pack that her in the blue bag. So it's just like, sometimes I just mentally, my mind just kind of mentally goes into doing things or whatnot.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, I think that's another reason behind it. I don't know how to really undo that or whatever.
Right.
But, so it's just like, I guess whenever my brain sees certain keywords, it just associates it to certain memories or
right,
whatever.
See Nova bag.
Yeah. Bag. So, you know, when I talked to her, she was like, did you pack her bag? I'm like, yeah, why, you know, what's up? And, you know, there was, like, other kids' clothes that were packed in there, things of that nature. It was just, like, that wouldn't have happened if mm-hmm. I just packed it in the pink bag. And, you know, she put in the text clearly both times to put in the little pink bag.
Right.
So, basically, I just need to figure out a way to calm my brain down, because I feel like I just try to do too many things at once. And sometimes I feel like, and I've talked to other people too, I just feel like there's not enough hours in the day sometimes. Just because.
To do for what?
Just in general? Just to do in general. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, you get back and then you got to take care of the kid,
right?
You know, and whatnot. You can try to do some stuff, but you can't really all the way, because kids have a tendency for trying to get into things that they shouldn't be getting into. So you have to account for that. And then by the time they're done, and then you also want to spend time with the kid. Like, you just want to feed them, put them, wash them, put them to bed. Like, you want to see your kid. I haven't seen you all day. So you do that, then, you know, you got the option, you know, should I eat, you know, should I just catch a quick break since I've been going, since I just, my finally time to just kind of really sit down, then you probably got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like there's more things you add to the plate, and then just the days and the amount of time doesn't get added together. So I don't know the best way of doing this or handling this situation. But to really bring it back together, it's just kind of more of the saying, it's okay to admit you're wrong in certain situations. And I feel like I'm admitting wrong in that part of me leaving my job. But I think the biggest thing about it is just not only one, just admitting that you're wrong, meaning that there's a mistake, but also figuring out a solution to that mistake. Because that's, of course, something I don't want to bring into the next job. I feel like I have a lot of good energy and motivation coming into this job for me to go ahead and start addressing that situation.
Okay.
Just because now I see it's affecting my personal life as well. And, you know, it's very easy just to forget just because I have a million and one things on my mind. So I just feel like if I find a solution, that'll help me out in the long run. Or what I'll try to do now is just, okay, what do I need to do right now? And just focus on doing that. Because just even like right now, when I was setting up the podcast, I said, okay, let me set up the podcast. Because you see, Jazz's mom is about to come over. So we're moving stuff and this, that, and the third. So I was like, all right, I need to do this. Because I know another task can just get added to that. And then I get distracted from what I was originally intended to do. So just kind of, I do the small stuff, but also remembering, you know, well, the task at hand.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, to your point about, I mean, to a smaller scale, this is kind of that same, but you always want to be in the moment sometimes. Like, sometimes being in the moment doesn't mean how some people use it, as far as like being at a party or like partying or whatever, being in like, or I don't know, like enjoying your time right now and things like that. Sometimes it just means like slow down and just be in what you are. Even if you got a million things to do, sometimes you got to start with one. You know, you can only do, I mean, you could do a couple things at a time, but you can only do a certain amount of things at a time. You can't worry, you can't do a million things at a time. So it's not even worth it to worry about those things.
Yeah,
I mean, as far as the time thing, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I definitely feel the same way sometimes. Like, it's just so much and so little time. But it's sometimes, you got to remember that it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
Like, the limited time is what makes you cherish the time.
Yeah, the limited time makes you realize you need to figure the shit out, because you only have a limited amount of time.
It's kind of like a weird dynamic where the limited amount of time that we have makes us appreciate the time in itself, because we know it's not forever. So if we did have a million hours in a day, we wouldn't appreciate the time that we have, because we would always be like, "Well, I got a million hours. I could do it on the 1,000th hour or something like that." When it's only 24 hours. It puts, I don't want to say more pressure, but it definitely puts you in a place where you appreciate the time that you have, and you know to use it purposefully.
Yeah. But yeah, man, you know, I just think, you know, in life, there's just certain moments, like as you progress, you know, there's just things you can reflect on. I feel like there's a lot of, pretty much every situation you can reflect on and see where you went right at, what you went wrong at, because
100%.
You know, we don't get everything right off the bat, and I think we should be allowed that space to be comfortable to know, like, I'm not going to get everything right off the bat the first time. Like, yeah. And that's okay. The goal is to get better.
Progression is always the goal. Man.
As long as that's your goal, is to get better, I think that's all that matters, you know. Don't let anything else kind of distract you from that. So, it's just kind of tying it back to last week, just allowing yourself to grow. Like,
one step forward, even if it's just one step, is as long as you're moving forward, that's all
that matters. Better than you were yesterday, even with one step.
That's the key. Be better than you were yesterday.
And it goes back to even what I said earlier about, like, just even the small things add up to a big thing. Like, a small bunch of steps consistently equals to a bigger step later down the road. So, I just feel like you got to see it from that perspective. And, you know, if people don't understand that, then, you know, you just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, that's what it comes down to, man.
I agree, 100%.
But, yeah, that's pretty much all I had on that. So, we're going to go ahead and go to our next segment, What Are You Listening To? So, this is where any genre of music that we listen to for the week, any platform that you listen to it on, it doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it. So, Ty, what have you been listening to this week?
Well, I'm pulling it out right now, but I already know what my first joint, Lil Nas X's project. It's called Seven. Is it called Seven EP or is it just EP? Still, it's an EP, so it's just called Seven. Dope project. I know, like most people probably thought he was gonna be a one hit wonder or something like that, or they thought he didn't have nothing else in the bag. But actually, he has a weird, not even weird, he has an interesting style where it's very, probably what you expect. Like, he has that, his Old Town Road, so it's like the country trappy type song. But then he has songs like You and Me, or it's Family, spelled with a 9, but where it's like a trap rock type thing, but it's more rock than your typical, like, your typical trap rapper
crew. So it's more like Push Me to the Edge type of vibe.
Low key, high key. Like, not as dark, but still the same. Like, it's still like a punky rock feel. It's definitely punk rock. Like a punk rock feel. You know, but then he...
Because I'm not going to lie, I haven't listened to the EP yet. No specific reason it's why. Good. But
I mean, I like it. You know, and then he got songs like Panini, where it just like, you know, like a Travis Scott type of trap song, you know, with the autotune and all that, which is still dope. I mean, I don't know. I think the project is dope. I think he's definitely on a short song wave, like 219 and out. Like, I'm not, like, you're not getting more than 2 minutes
from the majority of the song.
And for real. Like, yeah, dog, this is like an 18, you know, albums now are so short. But and then he got the song Rodeo with Cardi B, which I think...
Is this a new song? Is that on the EP?
This is on the EP, yeah.
How many? There's 7 songs on there?
One plus Old Town Road. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, wow. You actually got some songs on here. I thought it was like 2 or 3 more songs.
Well, it's 8 songs, and 2 of them are Old Town Road. Like, one is Old Town Road.
And the Old Town Road remix. I mean, I feel that. Get your money.
Yeah, you got to put that on there. It's going to get the listens. No, but it's super dope.
Excuse me.
Super dope project. Keep doing your thing. I hope he puts out some longer songs, but besides that, I mean, it's dope. I've also been listening to this song, Same Squad by P-Lo. I know it's an older song. It's like 2 years old, 3 years old, but it's called Same Squad by P-Lo. He's a Bay Area artist, and it's very Bay Area. I mean, for me, when I think about summer music, a lot of times I think about, like, West Coast music. Like, I'm just listening to, like, West Coast rap, real fun rap. Not like any like gang stuff or nothing like that, or stuff about killing, but just stuff about, like, I don't know, just like that upbeat type of Bay Area vibe. Almost like a, matter of fact.
But turn that shit up. Turn that shit up all the way, man. Okay, I fuck with this. This a hit right here.
So, like, when I think about summertime, I think about, like, riding with the top down or something like that. If I think about that type of vibe, I think about music like this.
Mm-hmm.
That you could bump to.
Wait, who is that again? Who is that again?
It's by a dude named P-Lo. It's an Asian dude out of the Bay Area. Yeah, he's like a producer, rapper.
Hold on, does he say nigga? Because this is going to determine if I continue to listen
no,
to this.
No, I don't think so.
All right, cool.
No, not that I remember. And then you know who I was listening to who was really not bad, and I was you remember that song Rich Chigga, the dude Rich Chigga,
is he an Asian rapper?
Yes,
he was on Brilliant Idiots podcast.
Like, he was no, that's China Mac. Okay. That's somebody else.
But Rich Chigga sounds very
Rich
familiar.
Chigga is like the dude. He had a real deep voice, but a little, like, little Asian dude, like, a little nerdy looking dude. Mm-hmm. He had that song, and he kind of popped off of that, but he changed his name. His name is Rich Brian, and he has some songs, like, he's kind of one of them things that's, like, it was a viral thing, so you kind of like, okay, yeah. What is this?
You don't really take him serious, but you respect that, like, one big thing he did.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because he had bar, like, it was a good song, but it's like, all right, this is a, it's an Asian dude rapping like a black dude, like, it's a viral video, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he has some actual songs that kind of pop. He got a song with 21, I think it's called, don't quote me on that, I think it's called Closer, let me see. But he, you know, he's made some music, he's kind of shown that he can make some music, so I've been listening to a lot of Rich Brian. And then also last I've been listening to this, it's a song called Shinner's 13, and this is like metal rock rap. Like, this is complete
metal rock, like, rap.
I'll just fast forward it a little bit.
Okay, hold up.
Yes. So I was listening
you
to that.
You saw he was Lil Nas X before Lil Nas X existed.
And this, I mean, this is, it's from some people called, it's from a city, it's come, the album is City Morgue Volume 1, Hell or High Water. And it's
now, was he black? Because you definitely said that again.
Yeah, as a black dude, sure this him. Is, yeah, it's by City Morgue and Zilla Cammy. And Sas Mula. So I know one of the dudes is black. One is like Spanish. They from New York. And one,
oh hell, see, I know that Spanish guy.
You know who they run with? Well, this is what I heard. They run with 6ix9ine. They heard was,
oh, I can't 6ix9ine listen to them no more. That's over with now.
With that song, I don't know why I like that song, honestly, because I never like that much metal. I like some Iron Maiden songs, like you know, like Enter Sandman, stuff like that, like the big ones. But
Iron Maiden is Enter Sandman is not Iron Maiden.
Who is that? Metallica.
That's Metallica.
Okay, I'm wilding then. I like some Metallica. I like some Iron Maiden too, but I like some Metallica. But I don't like metal. I don't like hard metal, honestly.
No, I like that death metal. No. That but,
I remember as a kid, I used to listen to some of that, like. This is not talent. Like, like, I could do that, bro. Like, what are you doing? You're not right, singing.
So why don't you do it then, man?
Bro, I'm older. Paid. I was a child, bro. Like,
what's
now,
stopping you now?
My vocal cords.
There's an audience for that.
I'm not made for that, dog. But but yeah. So that's what I've been listening to. Just trying to listen to some new music, kind of. A lot of rap mixed with other genres. Lil Nas X.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. So last week, I started off, no one say started off, but definitely one album I wanted to mention that I was listening to was Born Sinner, of course. Last year, or last week, was the 6-year anniversary that it dropped. And if you know, that's the same day that Kanye dropped Yeezus. And that really kind of showed really where Cole was at, because I think he only was like short, I think like 5,000 to 7,000 album sales when that dropped.
From beating Yeezus?
Yeah. So I think he was like 292,000 first week, and then, Yeezus was right at 300K. So that, I mean, first of all, Born Sinner was a great album. That's one of my favorite J. Cole albums. Like, those, that was one of the few albums I've actually bought. Like, physically have the CD in my hand. Probably top three for sure of his best albums. I mean, so many great songs there.
Yeah.
Voluminati is definitely one of my favorites. Is She Gonna Pop? I mean, Land of the Snakes, Power Trip. Yeah, at one point, I knew Power Trip word for word. Like, I probably still do know it, like, if it dropped right now. But yeah, I knew that shit to a T. I love the More Money interlude. Trouble. Runaway is just a deep-ass song, man. Oh, man. It's Forbidden Fruit with Kendrick. Come on, man. Chaining Day. Crooked Smile. Let Nas Down.
Ooh. Let Nas Down was a really good song.
Yes, man.
That was a really good song.
Sparks Will Fly. But some of these were on his Truly Yours projects. And then this was like the deluxe album, I believe. Yeah, this is a deluxe version. So it had Truly Yours 3 combined with it. So the last 5 songs were on the actual album, unless you had the deluxe, John. But lucky I did. But yeah, man, one of his best albums, man. Like, I listened to that straight through and just caught so many nostalgia moments. Like, just, I remember listening to that album in Westmar and whatnot. And then Wale dropped a new song last week as well called Gemini. It was actually a really good song. I'm glad Wale's still making music, man. I really wish Wale would be up there with the Coles, the Kendricks, and the Drakes. I'm sorry. I'm sad.
He's like a honorable mention. Like, when you talk about them, honestly. Mm-hmm.
I can agree to that. I can. But it's a really good song. I think he's actually about to drop an album out soon. It's called Gemini, Two Sides. You know, it's when I just think you should check it out. It was really good.
Eah.
I love Wale.
Okay, I bet.
Listen to Wale for a minute.
Yeah, I like Wale a lot.
So I think you'll enjoy it. Still bumping No Guidance. it's crack. Actually, too, just to speak on Chris already, because he's just like dropping a new song each week for his album, because Back to Love, Heat, featuring Gunna on there, and then Don't Check Me with Justin Bieber. Woo! Hey, him and JB was in their bag on that song, man.
Bro, Justin Bieber really got a lot of good collabs.
Yeah, dog.
I don't forget about.
But there's like 5 to 7 songs already available on the album. I think it's dropping this week on the 28th. So I'm excited for that, because the songs I've been hearing, man, there's some fire. There's some fire for real. Still listening to the Dreamville package. I actually went back to listen to Scorpion earlier this week. And really mainly go see if I enjoyed any of the songs that I usually skip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, to hear the dope ones like Nonstop, Mob Ties, Can't Tell a Joke, Jaded.
Yeah.
I always get my feelings when I hear Jaded. Just that. Just that beginning, it's like it just set the tone. Like, oh, here we go. Oh shit, here we go again. But no, I still skip the songs that I don't really like. Oh, I think I listened to Summer Games.
So many songs.
Yeah, it's so many. It's too many, honestly. It's just like, oh, one song I did listen to that I really think I like now, Is There More? Because that's not one of the popular Drake. So I feel like this is really like Drake really expressing himself.
Right.
You know, just kind of talking about, is there more to life than like what he has right now, like than the fame and fortune and whatnot.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember that song, honestly.
Here you go, bro. I got you, man. I'll play you a little clip of clip. You know, blue tint, blue faces. Oh, Ratchet Happy Birthday. I still don't understand why people didn't like Ratchet Happy Birthday, but hey,
he's probably expecting something more celebratory.
Yeah. You don't remember this vibe, man.
Oh, my lack of responses. Only I know this song. Yeah, that's the Drake I like, man.
Mm-hmm.
When he's just spitting.
Yeah, man. I need that. I'm excited for his new album whenever it drops.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm still listening to Kalani while we wait. It's such a great album. Like, are people still not listening to this? What's wrong with you, man? Come on now. I was in my white bag too. I was listening to an indie band called Cold War Kids. I just listened to some of their old music because they have new music out now. But I just
Cold War Kids.
Cold War Kids, like you know, we had the Cold War, like with U.S. versus Russia. Yeah. Just add kids.
Cold War Kids.
You know, it was a little spurt. Just like I felt like listening to them. Like I just literally felt it, so I just went back and checked it out. They're a good little indie band for people that are into alternative music. So check that out if you feel like. But that is it for our music segment there. That's pretty much everything I listened to this week. So yeah. Alrighty, so you know what that means. Time to get into some pop culture topics.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go ahead and get that started. So BET Awards 2019 happened over the weekend, I believe. Ty, did you check that out?
I watched the clips of what I wanted to watch.
That's facts. That's facts. Because, you know, we don't really watch the BET Awards like that no more.
Especially not the... I always get confused. I'm like, which ones that I really, because they do the ciphers on the Hip Hop Awards.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's why I'm like, that's really all I usually watch. Like, I watch the ciphers and I watch some performances. And if something funny happens or something like that, I'll watch it. But I'm not really a fan of the entire, like, they're just the award show itself. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
I feel that. Well, did Janet Jackson win an award? No, it was Mary J. Blige, I believe, won the Lifetime Achievement Award. Mm. So shout out to her for that. Rihanna was actually there, which was very surprising. I don't know if she's been on a previous one, but
maybe she dropped out.
Yeah, maybe this is PR that she's finally telling us. It's either that or Rihanna truly doesn't love us, and like she really just hates us. Like honestly, because she didn't even give us no hope that there's an album coming. But Nipsey got the Humanitarian Award. I couldn't even watch the performance. I know it's gonna break my heart. And
he got Best Male Rapper Artist.
Yeah, he did get that. His mom delivered a great speech. That kind of made me be like, damn, I really can't still be feeling some type of way about this. If she got over it the same day, which I don't understand. Like, how... That's some true peace, man. I said that when we spoke about his death. I believe that episode never got aired or the next one afterwards. But that was some real peace to really just get over the death of your son the same day. Mm-hmm. Within hours of the death. That's incredible. I don't know how, but I would love to get to that point. Like, that's true inner peace.
A lot of times people like that, they've probably dealt with a lot of death in their life.
Yeah.
So you just kind of get used to the, I mean, it sounds bad, but used to the, like, the mourning process, the grief process.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think the biggest highlight is Offset with the dance moves.
Oh, Chris Brown. Chris set, dog.
I'm not going to lie. Offset has some moves. Offset, I mean, Brown. Niggas been known that Offset could dance.
Since the video, since the MySpace, I don't know what it was. Bebo video, like that old video.
I said, okay. I see Offset. You trying, you bringing out some new stuff, man. It was good. It didn't look bad. I was actually truly impressed, man.
Popping and locking. That was a good performance, him and Cardi.
Yeah.
I did watch that performance.
Because one thing I can't stand was rappers if they're just standing or just kind of like standing, walking around. They're not really active. They're not really active with the crowd.
Did you watch Blueface's performance?
Mm-mm.
Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, it's not for me. I'm sure, like, people love Blueface, and I can see why. He has a style and all these things. I'm not really a fan of Blueface, but there's some songs that are catchy, that Tatiana, and he performed a Tatiana song. And it was just like, he could have performed. He's probably nervous and stuff like that, but he could have performed that a lot better. It was kind of like your typical, I'm gonna stand on the side of the crowd or the side of the stage. And like DaBaby, he had a good performance. He was energetic. Mm-hmm. He was running around.
Yeah,
he was doing a lot. It's just when you're performing, you could do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Again, who am I to talk? I don't perform, but you know, people like to see you running around doing things and actually making it a show rather than just standing there and basically doing it. They could have just listened to it on their iPod. They didn't have to go to the performance.
Yeah. I agree. It's really not that hard. I feel like it's just kind of you taking an extra step as an artist to do that, like, to be a part of your audience.
Yeah,
like, be active for them. Because they see you lit, they're going to be lit too. But just my two cents. I don't know what else happened there. I didn't watch it. I just kind of caught the highlights of it. I don't even know who hosted it this year. I don't even know if they still host.
Regina Hall?
Okay. Makes sense. It's a good act. It's a good pickup. Can't be mad at that. But yeah. So it sounds like it's pretty good overall.
Yeah. I didn't see anybody disappointed with the BET Awards.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't see anybody saying, oh, man, this was hot doo-doo. Yeah. There was some BET Awards, I was like, bro, just throw this away. Just stop. Yeah, I don't even care.
Yeah, honestly, I'd just be waiting for the one with the Cyphers.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wait for is the Cyphers.
Yeah, that's the only reason I watch the Hip Hop Awards. Literally. I'm hoping this year we finally get a Dreamville BET Cypher.
Oh, they got to. Now that J.I.D. is making a name, there's like a... now that there's actually...
established rappers on there.
Rappers that are have a name for themselves, and aside from Cole, yeah, they're gonna have one. Same thing like the TD when they had that TDE, because they had a couple rappers, all the rappers to spit, but J Rock had a name, Kendrick obviously had a name, Absol had a name, and Q had a name. So at that point, you could throw two or three other people on there and, you know, and let it ride.
Yeah.
Dreamville definitely got that.
I agree. So now we're going to get into our next subject, the XXL freshman list. First of all, good job to XXL. Wait, why did I just say XXL? What is wrong with me? Shout out to XXL for this year's freshman list, because we all know these past couple of years have been like, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about it. They've been poo. Let's be honest. They've been poo. They haven't been the best. But I really think they redeemed themselves this year.
Oh, did they?
I don't know if they just kind of high. Well, it's better. It's one of the best that I've seen in years. So, because the past 2 to 3 years have just kind of been like, whoa, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
So.
I can say these are people that definitely the kids are listening to. So it's at least people that people are listening to.
Yeah. So for this year's list, we have Blueface, baby. Yeah.
I want to see you bust down.
Chemethazine, Tierra Whack, The Baby.
Hey, my girl.
Lil Mousy, Roddy Rich.
Hey.
YBN Cordae, YK Osiris, Rico Nasty, Gunna, and Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay.
A good look.
Well, I'll tell you, see, personally, I guess, call me old, whatever,
Blueface, I've heard of him. I've heard one or two songs that I like. I have no idea who Comethazine is.
I've accidentally heard one of his songs and it wasn't good.
It wasn't. Yeah, he. Okay. shout out to my boy. He's on the cover. Tierra Whack, my girl.
Yeah, I know she's fine with the bars.
I've been waiting for her to pop for a while. She's a Philly girl. So dope. I saw her at the Roots Picnic. Not this year, but the last year, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's super dope. I mean, her projects, she's real artistic with her projects and stuff like that. Like, she's dope. DaBaby, definitely rocking DaBaby. Lil Mosey, I have no idea who that is.
He's that light skinned dude. I've heard one of his songs, but it's just like,
he look young to me.
Don't really care for you. He's a young nigga.
But I'm sure he making moves out here. Roddy Ricch,
that was a good look.
Yeah, definitely a good look. Carrying some of the West Side on him. One of the new names coming out the West Side. YBN Cordae,
he can spit.
Kenny?
Cause you know, out of like that YBN group, he's the only one that can actually have a successful career.
Okay.
You see YBN Almighty J on here. What's that other light skin? He looked like a big rugrat.
I ain't going outside today.
No, nigga, that's NBA Young Boy.
Oh.
But your age is showing.
Bruh, no, it's too many. The acronyms, dog, is too many. It's YNW.
NBA, bruh. Nigga, what the fuck?
Bruh, but if it's three letters,
what the NBA is, bro. Come on now. If any of them.
I know. You said, I know what NBA is, but I don't. What is YBN?
Oh,
Young Broke?
Young Bitch Niggas? I don't know, man.
Maybe Young Ballers. Boss. Maybe Young. Definitely probably Boss. I have no idea.
Oh, that would probably be a good one. Young Boss Niggas.
Yeah.
Anyways, YK
Osiris. Is that the girl?
No, that's the dude in the striped pants. So he has a song called Worth It. I will give you the world.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah.
Wait, just gotta
be worth it.
Wait. So the girl is Rico Nasty?
Yes, the girl is Rico Nasty. I don't know why she named herself that.
I haven't
heard any of her songs. I've been hearing her name, but no music attached to it.
Is that that ain't no face tattoo? I don't.
I'm not sure what that is.
That can't be a face.
And this is my first time seeing her, I don't know if that's like part of her gimmick or, you know,
maybe she's like a clown. Yeah, oh no, that's not a real face tattoo. Okay, well, shout out to her. You made the cover. Gunna, I mean, you already know
he's a good pick.
Straight water, straight drip. And then Meg Thee Stallion definitely deserves it. He's probably the MVP of the cover.
Yeah, I hope that was like the first pick.
Yeah, she
either that or Tierra Whack.
Yeah, I think once the ciphers come out and the freestyles, I think Tierra Whack is gonna get her just due. I like Roddy Ricch, but I don't see him bodying a freestyle.
I don't even know what the fuck Blueface is gonna do.
Blueface, because
we already know that shit finna be off beat.
Disrespect my cripping. Like, I'm like, all right. DaBaby, I think he's gonna go off. Meg is gonna go off.
Yeah, YBN is gonna go off too.
Okay, I gotta listen out for him because I've never heard of him.
Pretty much just everybody on like the end, on the left end, I have concerns for. Blueface, Lil Mosey, and YK.
And the other dude that's smiling weird.
Oh yeah, and Comethazine. Yeah. Comethazine.
And M4, I don't know. But everybody else, and Rico Nasty. But we'll see. It looks like a good class, you know, just at first glance.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm so glad Tierra made it.
I agree. So, anyways, yo, what's going on with Lil Nas X, man? Why are they trying to cancel my guy, bro? What's going on with that, man?
Cancel everybody, dog. They've been trying to cancel everybody.
So apparently, and I think this is a full story, and this is another reason why I just feel like people just be so pressed just to make. To just talk about matters is because all I saw were people like responding about. I saw people. I don't even know what I technically saw, but what I, from all the searching to like actually find out what's going on, because there's like a lot of hoopla I was seeing. There we go. I've seen a lot of hoopla. Apparently, he like had an old Twitter handle on his Instagram page that was associated to some tweets about Islamophobia. I think saying that like Ariana Grande was Islamic or something like that, something along the lines of that. And they, whoever that is, it sounds like people are saying K-pop fans. I don't know who the K-pop fans are. They were saying Nicki fans were coming after her or coming after him and whatnot about trying to get rid of him. But this is, I'm sick of the shit, bro. Like, why don't y'all let these people live? Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is y'all not canceling Lil Nas X. I'm just going to put that out here now. Old Town Road is almost diamond. Like, you're not stopping this train, fam.
Right. It's just like, all right, well, all right, think about this. He's 20 years old. He's already a Twitter, like, we know he's a Twitter troll, basically. Mm. Trolls on Twitter, like, I don't know. But he's 20 years old. Say this stuff is from, I don't know how many years, say it's from 5 years back. It means he was 15. You really going to drag a guy who is still, like, says nonsense on Twitter? What kind of nonsense you think he was saying before, like when he was 15, as a, you know, as a kid? Like, you can't condemn people for the things they did as children, especially when it was just talking on the internet. It's not like he killed somebody. It'd be different if he killed a Muslim person. That's different. But a 15-year-old saying stuff,
but bro, the thing is, what he said, like the Abby that was associated with it wasn't even him.
Yeah, it's like a woman or something.
That's what I'm just like, what are y'all really upset for? Like, what are y'all really upset for? This is what I go back to. Like, bruh, y'all just need to utilize your time for better things. Because y'all don't even know why y'all trying to cancel this man. Like, this man literally has done nothing wrong. Like, why is it that anytime somebody becomes, like, successful, the goal is to now find something to bring them down?
Yeah.
Dude, let them live.
I'm trying to cancel people.
Like, why do people do that? Judge them for what they're doing now, their current actions. Like, the fact that you're looking up to see if this man has done something wrong is lame. That just shows what type of person you are
at the end of the day. It's just weird. I mean, the whole cancel culture and all that stuff is just weird. Like, it's from a... And I feel like the cancel culture is kind of ending, and that people are kind of weaning off of like trying to cancel everybody that says.
Yeah, it's calmed down,
but like, it's just getting old.
Yeah, this shit is so fucking lame at this point. Like, let that man get his money. Like, this man was literally talking about he only had like $5 to his name before this shit started.
Yeah,
let that man live his life. Don't be mad because you don't got it. Because that's what it really sounded like. People just like said that they got it and you don't.
People like the outrage, for sure. But, I mean, what's going to happen is what's going to happen, because he's still going to rise. I mean, it don't seem like it's slowing him down, none. He just performed the BET Awards with
Billy Ray Cyrus. And I'm glad that he also saw it and, like, called it out. Like, bro, y'all not stopping me.
Yeah, he put like a meme up about it and all that stuff.
I said,
like,
that's how you fucking do it, man. That's how you do it, man.
You think he's worried, bro? He's chilling at the top of the charts. You think he worried?
He got bigger fish to fry.
Come on.
This man was fighting against a whole company.
Yeah.
What are you?
He tried to get, he got canceled
by Billboard.
The country people before
and he came right back the next week.
Like, come on, dog.
You think he's stressing y'all, man?
If I was him, I'd be chilling. Big chilling.
That's what he's doing, man. He said, you know what? I'm just going to drop another platinum song.
And you're just going to be there.
Sick.
Let this young man get his money and live.
So shout out to you, little Nas. You're doing the damn thing, getting deals from damn Levi's and shit. Just beautiful. You heard? It's fucking beautiful.
Get your money, bro.
All right, so this issue that I want to speak on next has been something going on. I don't know if you guys have recently seen any news about this, but it's between Bella Thorne and Whoopi Goldberg. And for those that don't know, Bella Thorne, I believe she's an actress. Like, she's in some other stuff. I don't remember off the top of my head. But she's, you know, got a good following and whatnot. She tweeted the other day. She actually tweeted her nudes the other day because apparently there was a hacker who texted her saying, like, they had her nudes. And he or she, this person was going to leak him and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, waiting to release, for that person to release her nudes, she went ahead and just did it herself, like leaked the conversation that showed the nudes and whatnot. I guess trying to own power of the situation. Man, you know, to each his own and whatnot. But it was a talking point on, what is it? What's the show Whoopi's on?
The View?
The View. It was one of the talking points, and she had a response to it. And she basically was saying that, you know, if you're going to be on this high of a level or this big of a platform, like, you don't need to be taking those pictures. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up. Like, why are you doing that? You know there's hackers out there and whatnot. And it's very crazy because that turned into some real beef. Like, Bella ended up responding, like, basically saying, like, Whoopi, your response makes me sick. This, that, and the third. Like, people were actually going in about this whole situation. Like, Ty, did you see the clip of Whoopi's response?
Well, I didn't see the clip, but I read pretty much everything. So, like, what Whoopi said in general, in beginning, was, if you're famous, I don't care how old you are, you don't take nude pictures of yourself. Once you take that picture, it goes into the cloud and it's available to any hacker who wants it. And if you don't know that in 2019, that is the issue. I'm sorry. You don't get to do that.
Listen, if you're famous, I don't care how old you are, you don't take nude pictures of yourself because...
But she only wants to share with one person.
But she should... Listen, when they're hacking you, they're hacking all of your stuff. So whether it's one picture or a million pictures, once you take that picture,
yeah,
it goes into the cloud and it's available to any hacker who wants it. And if you don't know that in 2019, that this is an issue, I'm sorry, your age does not, you don't get to do that.
I'm not gonna lie, I want to say that I feel pretty disgusting, you know, I feel pretty disgusting, Whoopi, knowing everyone's seen, like, you know, my shit, and I just want to say that me watching this interview made me feel really bad about myself, and I hope you're happy, I really do, I really hope you're so fucking happy, because I can only imagine all of the kids who have their shit released and then they commit suicide, and you know, you're so crazy for thinking such terrible things on such an awful situation. Like,
so with that being said, how do you feel about that situation? Do you think Whoopi was right, or do you think Bella was right?
Absolutely, Whoopi was right. Like, that's just common sense. Don't take the... Like, it's... All Whoopi was doing was speaking facts. Like, if... there's a possibility of you getting hacked, and you take a picture, and it goes to the cloud, or whatever, it goes to some storage that you have no... you have control over, but it's able to be accessed by other people, then, you know, that's what it is. The only... That's like saying... if you're going to have sex, have protected sex. But even if you have protected sex, there's still a chance that you may get an STD. So the only way to not get an STD, 100% not get an STD, is to not have sex. The only way to never get your pictures hacked or anything is to not take the pictures. Or you could take them on film You can take them on film and then get it printed out, and you know that you're the only one with that picture. I'm just saying, bro. Like, if that's the only way you know that you can't be hacked, can't
nobody hack. This nigga said, "Go and print your photos." Bitch, I wish I would see somebody at the community printers at FedEx.
You ain't gotta go to Walmart and print it. You ain't gotta go to Walmart to get it.
Hey, bro. hey, girl, come pick up my news. Just
print that out. Like, but you gotta be conscious of it. Like, you gotta. I mean, she was just saying real stuff. Like, you gotta be aware. And I didn't see a problem with what she said.
So you basically are victim shaming.
if this is called victim shaming in this day and age, then I'm sorry that they can call me a victim shaming. But that's just common sense. Maybe it is the old. Maybe I'm getting too, like, my pendulum has swung from all the way to this other side, and everybody was, again, like, everybody was canceling everybody. Everybody's mad about everything. Like, I'm so tired of that. And this is the perfect situation. Just like, it's gone a little too far. If this victim shaming, we've gone a little too far. So, like, come on.
So you've never sent news to anybody before, man?
I have, but I also know they can be hacked. If Whoopi said that to me about my new pictures or something like that,
you wouldn't be like, well, fucking Whoopi.
No, I'll be like, well, I mean, true. If I never took the pictures, they could have never been hacked.
Yeah,
like, that's just a fact. That's just, I don't see the problem. That makes, that's, to me, that just makes sense.
Yeah,
if you don't take the picture, it can't be hacked.
That makes sense. Because I feel like it kind of sucks, because, like, damn, it's not like you shouldn't. You should be allowed to take news, because sometimes women just want to take pictures of their bodies. That's cool. But I guess it is a little more serious when it's a celebrity. It's not that much when you just, you know, the average person or whatever.
But it's not saying don't take the new pictures at all. It's just saying if you take the new pictures,
understand the risk of doing that.
Yeah, understand that there's a possibility you getting hacked.
Yeah.
Point blank period. You could do whatever you want. I don't care. You could do, there's people that do coke. I really don't care if you do coke. But just know if you do coke, there's a chance.
Just know
that
if you die, your brains, like,
might turn scrambled eggs. Like, I mean, it just is what it is. It's a consequence that comes. It's a possible consequence that comes with the action. And I mean, you could do whatever you want. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But just understand that.
No, that's facts. That's facts. You just gotta understand. I mean, and honestly, we don't even know if the guy would have actually leaked her nudes. Yeah, like, well, you know, he could have been just all talk. You know, she may have just wasted her breath by even showing in the first place. So,
I mean, well, I guess people was checking for it because it was on the national television and stuff like that, but I mean, I don't think it made that. Well, I'm not gonna say that, because showing your body at all on the internet can be kind of traumatizing. So I understand that, but I don't think Whoopi was wrong.
I feel it. Makes sense. So switch over to the next thing, and I want to talk about Euphoria. Have you seen that yet?
I have not seen Euphoria.
Man, you have to watch that, yo. Zendaya is a really good actress. I just want to say good acting.
Is she good
Just the fact that she's played so many different roles already, and you're in Spider-Man as Mary Jane, and now you're this real-life drug addict. I didn't see her playing a drug addict role, but she's killing it on this
show. Zendaya can act as anybody in the world except a good dancer.
Yeah, I honestly, Zendaya can do no wrong except when it comes to dancing.
Maybe she can dance, but she just can't do that dance.
You know, maybe it was just a bad day that we caught her on. I don't know, man, but
like JJ Icefish.
We're acting like that video never happened. We blocking it out of our memory. Because she's doing too good on that show. So we're going to let her chill. But I definitely think you should check it out. People actually forgot, but Drake is actually executive producing on this show. So
Drake is?
Yeah, Drake is executive producing on Euphoria. And it's really good. Bro, well, please stop the shenanigans. He's really showing me Ice JJ fish right now. But just check it out, man. It's very raw. Like, it's very unfiltered. And you'll see what I mean by that. I don't want to give any spoilers to people who haven't seen it already. It's only 2 episodes in. It just literally started 2 weeks ago on HBO. But I really think you enjoy it. I was truly impressed so far. And, yeah, man. And it also has a girl who was in Ava DuVernay's movie.
Okay.
What was that? It was like where that girl was trying to find her father. And then, like, he's in a different universe. Oh, my God. It's killing me that I can't think of the name of this right now. Is it, like, two girls? Oprah was in the movie. She was, like, a god.
Oh, I have no idea. Oh,
man. Ava DuVernay. It literally came out, like, last year.
I'm trying to think. I can't.
And because when I see the name, I'm like, wow, there it goes. A Wrinkle in Time. There we go. I did not know that Ava DuVernay produced Selma. That's crazy.
She produced Selma?
Yes.
She do everything, dog.
That's crazy. And 13th. No, I knew about 13th. I think that's when people started really catching on to her. Dang, that's crazy. But, yeah, the girl is on there as well. And I just think you should really check it out. It's based on her being a drug addict and her trying to deal with that and whatnot. And she's doing drugs. It's not no, talking about fentanyl.
Because she goes and she says like she's a recovering addict or something like that.
Yeah, right? Quote unquote recovering.
Okay, I got to check it out.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it, man. And everybody else who haven't seen it already, shout out to my folks who have seen it already. Y'all already know what's going on with that show. So it comes on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. on HBO. Either way, also going on in pop culture, we just had the NBA draft last week. Super excited with that. I love NBA offseason because it's just sometimes you could even say it might be better than the actual season. But hey, that's neither here nor there. Not even start that argument.
Depends who your team is.
NBA draft just happened. Of course, Zion Williamson, projected number one pick, went number one to the New Orleans Pelicans. Ja Morant went to the Memphis Grizzlies. RJ Barrett to the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Who went number four? Atlanta got the number four pick, and it was Hunter from Virginia, DeAndre Hunter. Cleveland Cavaliers got Darius Garland. Big moves for some teams, especially New Orleans, of course. Yeah, especially for Atlanta, having the number four and number 10 pick. They got Cam Reddish, Duke boy. Shout out to my boy Cam. He got picked up. Duke was like the first team since the 2007 Florida team to have 3 picks in the top 10. So that was dope. It was really good to see the emotion on their face, man. It really warmed my heart seeing, especially Zion, because Zion probably been knew he was going to be taking number one, but my man was still crying, like, just emotional and everything. It just seemed so genuine.
You see, he wore the white suit.
It was cream, bro. He didn't wear it for LeBron. LeBron, we're not doing that today, man.
2019 version.
Yeah, we're not doing that today.
Man, he's the next coming, dog.
It was a coincidence, man. He didn't even know. He just saw it, and that's what the stylist told him.
You think he didn't know?
Man, you think he didn't know? He was just trying to look clean. You know, one thing I'm interested to know is, though, how are all these niggas flashed out like this? I'm saying I saw diamond encrusted watches.
Oh, bro, people, bro.
Who's giving them this money?
Think about it. They only have to buy it. It's
a jeweler.
they're going to give it to, or clothing company, they're going to give it to them to wear because they know all the cameras on them.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I forgot. So,
and then they ask, who are you wearing? Oh, I got just 18 million carat watch by so-and-so jeweler.
That's facts.
Oh, I'm going there now.
I ain't even thinking about that because they definitely could get sponsorships from the agents.
Right afterwards, they got to get that back.
Oh, no. I'm like... sir, I lost it. I don't know where it went.
All right, like that's $26 million.
I was in my hotel and then it was gone.
Nice.
But that's a good point. Very interesting draft. Very interesting. Boy go down so low. I thought
he that wore the spider.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is he from Africa? Like straight from Africa, or did he play college ball here?
He played college ball here. Mm. His dad was in the NBA, though. I don't remember what country in Africa they're from.
Mm-hmm.
But they are African. But it's just, it's cool, man. It was also cool to see the black fathers coming down, you know, showing them that stigma that's placed on us is not true, that black fathers aren't active in their kids' lives. So we saw a lot of black dads.
100%.
So I love seeing that, man. It was just great overall, man. There's had moments where it was very heartwarming, and just to see excited things happen, seeing trades happening and whatnot. It's very, very, very amazing stuff, man. It's gonna be interesting seeing the New Orleans Pelicans in the next couple of years. It's gonna be interesting seeing the Hawks in the next couple of years. Especially now that they have
the Hawks look,
next year they have some
good picks.
Money for max players, so hopefully they can bring somebody. Because they're building a team in Atlanta.
I was wondering about KD. What you think KD is doing?
He declined his option today.
So
I don't know, bro.
I think he's going to Brooklyn.
Because I can't say, because I know Kawhi declined his too, but I think he's resigning to Toronto. I don't know what KD is going to do, honestly. I really don't know because I don't know if you've been watching
Audible?
I don't even know what was trying to be attempted from that. I think I put his last name and first name together. But Andre Iguodala's been on a little PR run because he's releasing his book. Yeah. And he was on The Breakfast Club earlier this week.
Yeah, I saw that. I haven't watched it, but I saw it.
And basically, he was on the lines of saying that when he got injured, this year, but I think last year in the Houston series, you know, they were ruling it as a smaller injury, but it was actually he fractured his bone, like a bone bruise. They were listing it as a bone bruise, but he actually fractured his bone. And like, that's probably the same situation that happened with KD. Yeah. Like, it was something greater, but it was ruled only a calf strain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was basically talking about, too, when he got injured, it's kind of like, not only are you, like, hearing the chatter from your family and friends, but you're hearing it from your teammates, the media, everybody in the office, you know, basically trying to ask, like, when you're going to come back.
Yeah.
Like, are you getting text messages, everybody? Or you're getting text messages from everybody saying, like, are you good? You know, things like that. And if Andre's going through that, KD's probably going through that even 10 times worse.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Much bigger player.
And I know KD's a Virgo, too. So I know he's always thinking about things, like, always trying to analyze things and whatnot. And you're probably the best basketball player right now if you were still 100% healthy. So that's a lot to think about.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. So I can't even fault him for trying to leave, you know. But if you ask me what I think he should do, I think he should stay in Golden State just because, you know, it's easier to rep an Achilles now once you've ruptured it already. So you're going to be doing more minutes if you play in Brooklyn as to where if you're going to State, you know, you're playing with all-stars.
Yeah, and I guess so you got to kind of
that workload isn't as much. Or even if he just does 1 year with Golden State, you know, and then leaves the next year. But I guess that really wouldn't make any sense because you can't play for a full year anyway.
Yeah. You gotta wonder what is his motive? Like what drives him? Is it the fact that, is it to get the easy way out? I don't want to say the easy way out because it's still a tough road, but like get the easy way out and stay with the Warriors and obviously stay with a team of All-Stars. You don't have to play the minutes. You can rest your body. For your whole year, you probably, for all your years, you can play out that longevity or win championships. But or do you go somewhere where you know, you always wanted to be the guy to prove yourself? That's the only thing. That's the only knock on him. I mean, he has everything else. He's the best player in the world. Like what some people say. I still think LeBron, but he's the best player in the world, some people say. And the only knock that you got against him is that he's been playing with All-Star. So maybe he just wants to get that knock off his chest and, go to a team that's not as star-studded. And then once he shows himself there, people will give him the respect that he deserves. It's like the top guy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you can't tell me shit. Once I win a ring...
Oh, you definitely can't tell me. I don't care.
I got it. I'm an NBA champion. You can't take that away from me. So, there's that. But it's going to be interesting to see what KD does.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be very, very altering if he does that. Like, it's going to change the scope of the NBA wherever he goes. So...
Shout out to KD.
We're going to see what happens with that.
Heal up fast, bro.
Also, in NBA news, LeVar Ball is reportedly being banned from ESPN from the grind my gear comments that he had on First Take last week. And what basically happened was, it sounds like they were transitioning into another topic because... Molly was like, let's switch gears with you, LeVar. And LeVar basically said, you know, Molly, you can switch gears with me anytime that you want. And she clearly had a reaction to it. And even Stephen A did. So I was just kind of like, oh, wow. That did this man really just say that right now? And we spoke about it a little bit, too. But yeah. It did turn into a bigger situation. And, you know, some people generally think he didn't mean it. Like, that wasn't his intentions. And, I mean, from when I saw it, it looked like that's what he was trying to say, just because of Molly's reaction. Like, she was just like, this man really just say this shit? Like,
yeah, it definitely came off like initially, my first watch or whatever, it was like that. But then after that, after I rewatched it and stuff, it really didn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. I can't tell her how to feel.
Yeah.
And I really don't know how she felt because a lot of things I saw was not from her. It was like from ESPN or from just people on Twitter and stuff like that. But off of first watch, it was like, oh, come on, guy. Why would you say that?
Yeah, dog.
But then it was like, and they played clips like he said it before.
Yeah. I don't think he might have really meant that.
It's like a dad
shit.
Joke. It's like a corny joke or something.
Yeah. I agree. And I don't think they should have banned that. I think that was a little out of pocket. If anything, y'all should ban Will Chain, stupid racist ass, for all them stupid comments that he be saying all the time on First Take. That's another reason why I don't even watch that lame ass show sometimes, man. But I think they went overboard with that.
That's the white boy that comes on?
Yeah, like, and you know, he be trying to always defend the white players all the time. Not Max Kellerman, but the other white guy.
The other one.
I can't stand Max Bitchass either.
The fake Max Kellerman.
Oh, God.
That's how I look at him.
But, you know, LeVar going to be all right. He don't need ESPN. ESPN needs him more than he needs ESPN.
Yeah, so, especially Lonzo's down in New Orleans, too.
Yeah.
He going to make a lot of noise.
Yeah. So, I hope they reverse that. I hope that's not even true. He did comment on it, and they're just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on now.
I mean, I got a whole wife out here that he loves.
And that's why I was like, bro, you really wilding right now. Like, you ain't booed up right now. Got the whole ring on it. I was like,
took care of her while she had cancer.
Yeah,
all
man.
All types of stuff. Like, she was sick.
Yeah, so I was like, dog, ain't no way this man acting like this. Mm. He ain't acting crazy like this, man. But alrighty, and I think that's everything we actually have for pop culture, so we're going to go ahead and switch to our Atlanta Green Book segment. And for this segment, if y'all don't know already, this is where we pretty much just shout out black businesses that are doing some amazing things, mainly in the Atlanta, metro Atlanta area, but just everywhere in general. It doesn't really matter, but this week, we actually have Zucock Gallery, and did you pull up information on it, or you want me to speak on it?
Hold on, let me pull up the little blurb.
And while Ty does that, Jasmine and I actually just went there last weekend. We've actually been there before, but we went again last weekend, and it's honestly a great art gallery, one of the best I've seen in my life so far, but Ty will let you kick it off.
Yes, so this is from the business. This is kind of their little blurb about themselves, kind of get themselves out there. So Zucock Gallery is the largest African-American-owned fine art gallery in the Southeast. Located in the historic Castleberry Hill District of downtown Atlanta, our 3,500-square-foot space offers an eclectic decor and features some of the most prolific contemporary artists of our time. Zucock Gallery believes that what you hang on your walls is a reflection of you. It is a window into your character, your convictions, and even your soul. We are uniquely positioned to help you make a difference in ensuring that your art is a reflection of what is important to you. Both novice and expert collectors benefit from our services, which include educational programming, events where like-minded individuals may network, and our offering of the highest quality original works of art. So you see that this is a place that is basically kind of committed to spreading African-American art and different types of art that you would see in other galleries. I think they've kind of hit a niche where, at least scrolling through their page and looking at some reviews that people have left as well, and seeing some of the art, it seems that they've hit a niche where some galleries that I've been to before have missed, to where you see a lot of this contemporary, they have a lot of contemporary art, things that are very, very relevant to this time, and it kind of makes sense now, but also some art that was made years ago but still kind of hit, like the thoughts and the topics still kind of make pressure and still kind of make sense in this day and age. So that's a hard thing for a gallery, you know. A lot of galleries that I've been to, it's always one or the other. Either you got this really new stuff or you got this really old stuff. It's hard to hit that niche where you have things, like I said, that are now and make sense for the time, they're very contemporary. Mm-hmm. And then also things that are older, made a while ago, but the effect is kind of timeless, and it still makes sense now.
Yeah.
So it looks like they definitely hit the nail on that.
Yeah. And one of the artists there too is Kimmy Cantrell. I believe he actually went to Georgia State University.
Oh, really?
University. Oh, so dude. You know, they clearly support Atlanta artists. He actually has a good bit of pieces in there. I don't know if he's running a series right now, but the majority of his work is like based on mixed media and clay. And you can tell his work, I mean, because it looks very similar. Like, you can see it, like, okay, this is his stuff. And it's really, really amazing stuff. I think he has a good bit of pieces on the first floor, because it's two floors. But his is kind of like, he has one section and, like, a section that's, like, you walk in. So he's one of the many artists that are there as well. And even talking to the person who runs the art gallery, is they're really trying to get some more black faces in there. They were just trying to build a crowd overall, but they're definitely trying to get some more black people in here for sure. Mm-hmm. And even just like this piece right here, I took a photo of that, like, just the type of dope art that they got going on there. Like, it's really cool stuff in there.
Dang, man, so, I wish I could do art like that.
Yeah, it's dope. So it's cool. Really dope. So you definitely got to check it out. You know, I'm very big on art galleries, but even bigger on black-owned art galleries. So,
for sure.
You know, I know we're going to be checking that out for sure, even more now. So, it's literally right by the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, right, Castleberry Hill.
Yeah, Castleberry Hill is really right by there. You can't miss it. So, oh, and I forgot to tell you, too, since we're talking about black businesses, I took Jasmine to Iwi Fresh. Loved it. Like,
yeah.
She
gave me the hand thing, right?
Yeah, that body scrub, dog. Whew. Dog, I'm telling you, your hands have never felt any soft.
Yeah, my hand, you won't be able to stop touching your hands.
You don't know what soft hands is until you've had the body scrub there.
And the oil?
And the oil to seal it up. Bro, you don't even want to touch nothing for the rest of the day.
You got bougie hands, dog.
My hands feel so pure. Like, I don't even want to ruin them right now. But I took her there. They gave both of us a tour. And we left with some samples. We actually bought the body scrub because we were just that sold on it. Even though I've already went through it. And, you know, they have different scents, of course. And the one I picked was hot butter grits. It smelled the best. That's what we ended up buying, but they also have the scrub and the oil of that, which you have both of those, and they have different scents there as well. And then, and not to take away from Suitcock Gallery, but this is just because we've already mentioned Iwi Fresh. I think that was the first black-owned business we mentioned first for this segment. So they also do a 2 for $65 deal on Thursday, so like you can get two services for that price. So like if you wanted to do like a pedicure and like a massage, you could do that, or even like a haircut and a massage. And then on Wednesdays they do $35 30-minute massages. So that's like I said, it's all natural, everything in there, like literally everything is natural. Jasmine even got like a face moisturizer from there, so she loved it. And you know, I'm always put y'all on game for good shit. So I think you should take your girl there too. I think she'll love it as well.
Yeah, Kaisa would definitely. I mean, Kaisa's definitely. She's into that.
Yeah,
like
I think she would really enjoy that
product stuff. Like the not the products, but like face care, skin care.
Like they got that type of stuff. They got all of that. All of that, and it's already doing wonders for her, for Jasmine, like for the stuff she got, because she's very big on like skincare now. Yeah, so
Okay,
she'll enjoy it.
I might have to slide through,
for sure.
Because that hand cream was
that. I'm telling you, dog. Still feel crazy. I said this. My hands have never felt this soft before. I literally, I got baby hands all day. Like,
hey, Birdman.
It's literally your hands are soft as a baby, bro.
Literally. Like, I grabbed Nova's hand just to kind of compare, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I'm up there. I'm up there. What the
fuck is you talking about? But alrighty, last segment of the day, all things considered, this is where we just find dope, amazing stuff on the internet. And this week is on Pampers actually planning to install 5,000 diaper changing stations in men's bathrooms in the next 2 years. So this originally started from Dante Palmer. He's a black father. Shout out to my black dads out there. He posted a photo online that gained a lot of attention. It went actually viral about him changing his son. But he had to squat. He literally squat and then uses his legs as like the changing station to change his son. And that went viral. It blew up. And Pampers basically caught attention about it and ended up like pretty much backing him, because he created a movement called hashtag Squat for Change, which is committed to aiming dads with proper changing resources that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And Pampers caught wind of it, and they're collaborating with Koala Care to actually like lead this campaign.
Super dope. It's needed.
They got John Legend behind it. They even have like a whole commercial going on already, because you know This isn't spoken a lot, but for my dads, it's a struggle to change a kid. Because we're not seen in that light often when it comes to changing a kid, which is crazy because you really just expect a woman to change a kid all day. Like,
man, it's just that people don't think about it. Like, you don't think about...
But that just goes to show you know, you how society really thinks about women, like, that they're just caregivers, in a sense. Like, they just... I mean, 100%. You can make the argument that they are natural caregivers because they do give birth, and, you know, that's a good point, but women are clearly more than that. I feel like that also shows that, or also kind of implies that society sees women more as a parent than the dad does, because why don't we have as many changing stations as the women's bathroom? Like,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense for sure. It's just that you still got those, like, societal norm thing, like, not even norms, but societal things that kind of put stigma upon, you know, what a man should be and what a woman should be as far as, like, parents. And what good thing those barriers are getting broken down.
Yeah. So I'm glad that they're doing that. They've already decided the first 500 locations. Cities like Cincinnati, Dallas, Philadelphia, Detroit, and many other cities across the U.S. will have this implemented there. And you can pretty much find these in, like, parks, community centers, libraries, things of that nature. So, shout out to Pampers taking hold of that. I think this is a great campaign. Okay. It's really dope, you know.
That's super dope.
Especially because it happened because of a black father. I was like, man, we have to mention this on the podcast. So, I hope that they don't just stop at 5,000. They continue this because this is a true need. Like, all jokes aside, like, I've been in that same boat, like, really struggling to change Nova because we're not given the proper resources to do that. So, look, man, this parenting thing is a two-way street. 100%. It always should have been a two-way street. I don't know why people just think, oh, women are just supposed to take care of the kids. No, bruh. It don't work like that.
Well, it's a good thing. Now it's changing.
That's all good we looks. Can ask for, looks. Right? So that is it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of In General. And like always, please listen to the other episodes that we have. Share them. Word of mouth digitally. Yurt. Whatever you can to spread the word.
Yurt.
You know, we appreciate it nonetheless. But social media accounts, Twitter, IG, at In General Show. Personal, D Bassey on Instagram, D_Bassey on IG, on Twitter.
And BLVCKTY_ on Twitter.
So, yes, everybody, thank you again for checking us out. We appreciate the love, the listen, and to continue to listen to us. And we will see y'all in the next episode.
Peace.
Adios.
Stay black.